Lee, before we go any further, this podcast is presented by my friends. That's right, my friends at Bill Curry Ford. Right there on Dale Mabry. It's a mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. It's a real family business, Mr. DeKemper. Tampa's first family of Ford for the past 60 years. That's before Bette Midler released her first album. Right now, you can get 0% financing. I got to say that again, Lee. 0% financing plus tremendous incentive offers at Bill Curry Ford on the 2019 Ford F-150, a vehicle that you are very familiar with, the 150 XL and the 2019 Ford Escape models, in addition to plenty of others. I drive a beautiful 2020 Ford Escape from Bill Curry Ford. It's a tremendous vehicle. It's a great ride. I've already done things. I've changed security codes. I got seat warmers. I don't care if it's 75 degrees out. I'm putting my seat warmers on. Toast my buns over there, DeKemper. And you can get the best deals in town right here at Bill Curry Ford. So get your keisters here and start shopping. BillCurryFord.com. Buck fans, Buck Nation, this goes out to all of you. Save the date. Our huge annual NFL draft party will be at a new location. Big Storm Brewery, Clearwater Tap Room, 12707 49th Street North, Thursday, April 23rd. It's 49th Street, just south of Ulmerton. I've already been there. It's a tremendous place, and it's going to be fantastic. Keep an eye on joebucksfan.com for details later this month. But we've already got the date. It's going to be Thursday, April 23rd. That's the first round of the NFL draft, and it's going to be a heck of a night. The food at Big Storm, first rate. And, of course, it's all about Florida's best craft beer. Big Storm, brewed right there in Clearwater. Lee, try the Bromosa. Not the Mimosa, the Bromosa. A fantastic tangerine IPA, and see all the great beers at BigStormBrewery.com. Use their storm tracker. Yeah, they've got a storm tracker to find Big Storm near you. You can even head to their second location. It's Pasco Tap Room. It's in Odessa, 2320 Success Drive. But the party is going to be in the Clearwater 49th Street location. I'll see you guys soon at Big Storm. Be there. You know what? Have a Big Storm beer tonight on me.
Ira is fired up for that draft party. It's early, but we are counting down the days. So much planning has gone into this. It's going to be so much fun. A lot of details coming up. We're going to have a huge announcement right after the Super Bowl. Been many months in the making at Big Storm in Clearwater on 49th Street. Fantastic beers from Big Storm. Now, the podcast, thanks to you for making it so very popular. It just keeps growing and getting bigger, and no matter when we put up the episodes, the listenership is incredible. Ira continues to pop in and out of the Google Play Top 50 all podcasts across the nation. And you can listen and leave a review at Apple Podcasts, Podbean. And we love the reviews, Stitcher, a lot of outlets to listen. And of course, so many of you tune in right at joebucksfan.com. Thank you to our friends at Pin Chasers, the greatest bowling alley, three of them in the Tampa Bay area. That's where you want to go. And I love Pin Chasers because they have a daily special. That beautiful beach weather is fading away, and it's a bowling weather, if you will. Every Tuesday is the Pizza Bowl at Pin Chasers, starting at 9 p.m. Enjoy unlimited pizza and bowling for just $10.99. All the pizza you can eat. That's a pretty darn good deal. Great time out with friends. Every day is special at Pin Chasers, the Sunday Breakfast Bowl. Free shoes all the time at Pin Chasers. Get to pinchasers.net, reserve a lane, and have some fun. And here is Ira.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, the Ira Kaufman podcast is on. He is the Prince of Pasco County, the Sage of Tampa Bay Sports, the Custodian of Canton. He is Uncle Ira.
How many more monikers could you give a man, Steven? I mean, I'm buried under the weight of these monikers here.
Well, when you finally name your freaking dog, that's
arriving.
You're right.
You're right. It's very much on my mind, naming that pup. By the way, we went out to see him last week. He's in Plant City. Get him in about 5 weeks.
All right, now we have
she came out with a little basin. I said, what the hell's in the basin? I look in there, there's two dogs in the basin. That's how small it is.
We got to bring Lee in on this. Ira's going to visit his dog. He doesn't even know which one is which.
We went to visit because we wanted to pick out the one we wanted. One had a little bit more white around the collar, and that's what we went for. And now I got to come up with the name.
I'm confused. I thought you already had the dog on order.
Yeah, me
well,
too.
Well, the dog's on order, but there were three puppies. You got to pick the one you want.
Now, did they know how many puppies were going to be born?
I don't know. I mean,
this sounds weird.
One's already named Jameis, and so I didn't take that one. We may continue.
All right. Well, we are live.
I think that shows you what Ira wants for a quarterback next year.
We are right here in the beautiful Bill Curry Ford showroom, where this is our second home here, Ira.
By the way, they got a new addition coming, like in the next couple of weeks, right? Sean Sullivan's got big plans for this showroom.
Well, they're starting construction. It's not going to just magically appear, but there's a lot going on. There's not much going on because everybody's waiting on Decision Jameis here. And we all have
Where's Ted Koppel? Decision Jameis. 2020.
So Sage, one thing that was interesting.
Sam Donaldson.
It's not on when we, we recorded the segment already with Sean Sullivan, the GM here, our resident draft guru. But one thing I think is interesting is, as far as what the Bucs do with Jameis, Sean made the point to us off camera, if you will, that, the Bucs really do have to stay aware of how the draft might fall to you because you just don't really know. So if you franchise Jameis, that at least gives you options in the draft to, well, maybe something weird happens and somebody falls to you at 18 or some weird trade offer comes and, maybe there's a guy in the second round that you end up with because you have all these extra picks. I have to admit, I hadn't thought about it that way, where franchising Jameis to me makes even more sense because you just really don't know where the draft's going to go. Something might fall in your lap that you really don't expect. What do you make of that?
Well, there's one factor you haven't mentioned, Steve, and Lee, this is the one area where you don't have certainty, but more certainty than the draft, which is until late April, and you got to make a decision if you don't want Winston to hit free agency in mid-March, Lee, and that is the free agent pool of quarterbacks that are going to be available. And Lee, before you say, well, you can't sign anybody before March 16th or whatever, Lee, you know better than anybody. You're not naive in this business. A lot of stuff goes on with back channels.
With
pending free agents. You know that. Agents are always gabbing. You're not supposed to do this. You're not supposed to do this.
The combine is rife with
it. It happens all the time, and you're going to be an indie. You're going to be in the middle of that hubbub. So we don't know how Arians looks at the potential free agents that are going to be. Maybe he does like one of them, and maybe the Bucs are making some inroads about nailing one down. So maybe that's their focus.
You're forgetting one major option, which really no one's ever, anybody has talked about.
Go ahead.
A trade. I'm not suggesting they should do that. I'm not proposing that. I'm not advocating that, but.
Well, Lee, I'll say this. If you're trading for.
That's how they got JPP, remember?
If you're trading for a starting quarterback, you probably have to give up a first-round pick.
I don't know. Look, Cam Newton, for example. Now, why would they trade him in the division? I don't know, but I'm just throwing that name out there. He would not cost a first-round pick, I wouldn't think.
I know why they would trade him in the division. Because
he sucks.
Because he's broken down.
He is broken down, Lee. He
but I'm just throwing
down.
That name out there for an example.
I understand. At his peak, Newton's a heck of a talent and a game-breaker.
I mean, send people into seizures here, but is Eli Manning a free agent?
Well, again,
broken down, but still, I'm throwing names out.
Guys, I look at the free agent.
Carson Palmer was thought to be over the hill when Arians got hold of him.
Some guys don't seem to fit the Arians profile. I'm thinking of guys like Bridgewater, maybe, and
even Bridgewater, not so much.
Andy Dalton, maybe. He likes deep throwers. Big guys.
That's one reason I say he can throw deep, can he not?
Who's this? Eli Manning? He doesn't have the arm he had when he beat the Patriots in those two Super Bowls.
Well, Brady's still out there, too. So
again,
there's that.
Again, the arm strength is a question.
I understand.
Yeah.
I still tell you he had no one to throw to, and they were double-teaming Edelman.
I think Steve's on to something, though, in terms of protecting yourself with that tag. Then you can retain Winston. If you want to retain Winston, you do have last call on that. And then you make a decision at that time.
Well, if you tag him, you never know if he's going to sign the tag or how long he might play games with that. So I think you almost have to tag. You could tag him to even gauge his interest, right? Now, you could tag Jameis. He might sign it in 10 minutes, which is what I think most normal people would do. Take the $27 million and run and just play well the next year. But you never know, because you look at, I think JPP is one thing I wanted to ask you guys about. Remember JPP, when he blew his hand off, he had gotten the tag from the Giants and he didn't sign it because he was mad about the franchise tag. And then he blew his hand off.
And then they pulled it, right?
And then they pulled the tag. So not that I expect Jameis to blow his hand off, but what I'm saying is JPP is a guy who has put his foot down on what he's worth before. And I know there are a lot of fans out there, Ira, who think JPP, oh yeah, he won't take much money. I am fully in belief that JPP thinks I'm a number one pass rusher in this league. Every other team would want me as their top guy, and I want to be paid top dollar. I don't know. I'm nervous about the JPP end.
I don't blame you. I think that is his mindset. Now, I'm not saying he says he's a better pass rusher than Chandler Jones at this point, but I think you'd call him a premier player. I mean, he's won me over. I said they should have cut him after the auto accident, and boy, was I wrong, because he really came on strong, stayed in shape. He probably could have took the year off if he wanted to, if he wasn't so determined. He's a gamer. Lee, he's a gamer. Mm-hmm. That's the way I call him. You deal with him in the locker room a lot. He knows what to say. Other players respect him and respond to him. And without him up front, you know, you got Villa. He's quiet. Nassib doesn't say a word. Oh, when he does, it's sarcastic. You know, Golston's no factor in the leadership. There'd be a leadership void. Lee, up front, I don't know if the Bucks can afford that.
Well, I'm more concerned about JPP's effect with Shaq Barrett than
his leadership. See, now that's another good point.
But with JPP, there's a reason. You were hardly the only one, Ira, to say let him go because of the hand deal. The neck deal.
Yeah.
Let's think about this. He couldn't work out because he was in a neck brace. So when you said he was in shape, he even admitted he wasn't in shape until like around December. Here's a guy, had a fractured neck, was in a neck brace, couldn't work out, couldn't stay in condition like he generally does in the offseason, and a son of a gun gets 8.5 sacks in half a year. I would say a guy like that, he's going to demand, him personally, he's going to demand elite money.
And that's why Steve's nervous, and I'm with Steve on that.
Yeah, Steve's got a right to be nervous. I think it's a valid concern. But the Bucks have a lot of money to play with. Now, of course, they can't keep everybody, but do you want to keep everybody? I mean, if it comes between JPP and Nassib, give me a break. Bye-bye, Carl. Sue, I would love to keep Sue. Now, by the way, I don't know if I ever said this on your podcast, Ira. I was talking to some people at One Buck. I wasn't there, but someone works inside. And I brought up Sue and no sack or very few sacks. And some people are speculation he's over the hill. You don't pay him. And I was told, whoa, whoa, whoa. They weren't paying Sue to get sacks. They weren't asking Sue to get sacks. What they were asking Sue to do was clog up the middle and run plays and eat up blockers to let linebackers fly. And I think that was...
He filled those roles very well.
I agree. And so it smelled like they want him back, that he did exactly what they wanted them to do.
Now, Steve, here's a factor, a possible factor in JPP staying in Tampa. If the offers are comparable between what the Bucks want to offer him and what he thinks he can get on the free agent market, I think this could work in Tampa Bay's favor. And I believe he's talked about this, where I think it's important to him that there be a second rusher on the team with him.
Or Shaq?
JPP.
Yeah.
Talking about it. And based on what we just saw in 2019, the Bucks certainly have that second factor. And his name's Shaq Barrett, who's going to demand a lot of money. But I think JPP likes the idea that he's got another guy with him. And some teams don't have that guy.
Sure he does. Sure he does. But I think JPP likes the money more. This is probably his this is probably his last contract, you know, as a 31-year-old.
Well, you're not saying the Bucks are going to take the cheap route with him. You don't know that.
No, but I don't see them paying Shaq $15 million, whatever it is, and JPP, $30 million in pass rushers. No one's going to cry.
And tagging Winston. You know, yeah.
You know, it's just hard to fathom. And I don't know who Lee talked to, but I gotta wave a red flag on the Sue thing. If Shaq Barrett's getting double teamed, the JPP's out there, and Vita's eating up multiple blockers, then Sue had his share of one-on-ones, and I don't think he beat enough of them, rushing the passer.
But they said they weren't asking him to.
He was on the field more often. I would buy that more if he was on the field less than Vea. But Sue played about 80% of the snaps. Vea was in for 2/3. He was in on pass rushing downs.
So on third and nine, his job's to harass the passer.
Is it?
On third and nine.
Well, once again, they said they didn't ask him to sack. I'm just going by what the guy's words are.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
I thought he had a pretty good year, but I'm not going to spend a lot of money on him.
It's a tough call. Yeah. And Nassib, though, bizarre. I know you said Nassib nothing. That's just from a media standpoint. For some reason, these guys voted Nassib captain of the team.
The teammates love him. He's a unit with us. At least with me, he is. I got no use for the guy.
I'm not touching that,
And I think he actually enjoys that. So, okay, pleasure yourself. I don't care.
There you go.
And JPP, the leadership stuff, and I side with Lee. Lean more on that. The leadership stuff gets way overblown.
Well, he's productive. I mean, he's productive.
I understand that everybody loves his leadership, but you know what? He was on the team, and I didn't hear about JPP getting in Brent Grimes' face and say, hey, man, you're a number one cornerback. What do you mean you don't want to play?
You can have 11 leaders. I'll take 11 producers.
I'm just saying leader adds another layer once you're productive.
It does.
And he's productive.
You know me about this. It's a mythical thing. You know, how can you measure it? You can't. It doesn't win you championships? I don't know. You know, I'm a production guy. Production has numbers. Production has results.
Well, I think if you have a room where most of the accountability comes from the players, I think that's the best possible scenario rather than coming from the
coaches. Again, that's immeasurable. You don't know. That's why I say it's mystic. You don't know.
It's like with our little group. You know, Isbitz is the leader. And
he's mystic?
He exudes leadership, and he's mystic. Steven.
You guys are ridiculous. All right. Now, listen, a conference championship weekend is here. Ira, you were last week. You were at Baltimore.
I was. And I was aghast at my Chiefs' performance in the opening quarter. Aghast.
You're Mr. NFL, and we heard you talk about it. And, you know, through the year, Lee talked a lot, and the topic came up many times on the podcast. And it's always a great topic, an unfortunate topic, but we're Buccaneers fans, so we deal with it almost every year, is tanking at the end of the year, emptying the bench. Not necessarily doing everything you can to win with your lineups doesn't mean you don't play hard, but what do? You play for the draft.
We've seen it here.
Yeah, you know, we've talked about those layers. It's not a clear cut. It never is. But you know what? This week, Ira, Jimmy Garoppolo comes out and says, hey, you know, thank goodness we went 4-11 because we got Joey Bosa, and that's the difference. So there's
Nicky in it.
Nick Bosa.
But I get that goofed up all the time.
Yeah.
Garoppolo said his quote, my injury was a blessing in disguise because they got Bosa.
But that's not the same thing as saying the 49ers tanked. That's not the same thing.
Result was the same.
The result was the same. Now, the Bucs in 2014 tanked. And I don't care what they say about that last game against New Orleans. We know better.
And they should have tanked a couple years ago, your buddy Nelson.
There you go.
Quentin Nelson.
Quentin Nelson.
And they missed out because that was a beautiful throw.
But the one thing we can all agree on is, in terms of this whole subject of tanking, you ain't going to get it from the players. The players don't care about a better draft pick. There's no way that it affects the players. You're talking about the strategy of the coaches and who you're putting on the field. But once they're on the field, a player's not going to tank. He's trying to put something on tape.
Sure. Reason why I'm chuckling here.
Why are you chuckling?
The guy, when the Bucs tanked a few years ago to get Jameis, the guy that was really outspokenly outraged about the notion of tanking was Altron Werner.
Oh, boy.
Well, one of the most comical things...
He didn't have to tank.
I think one of the most comical things of the 2019 season in general is that the Dolphins did everything they could to tank for a quarterback, and they're not going to get what they want.
Well, the front office did, yeah. They're not going to get close to one.
Right. So they built a culture, they set a foundation, but they ultimately screwed up in everything they tried to do. So, I mean, to me, that's just funny.
I got no love lost for Stephen Ross, so I'm...
You never liked that guy.
I never liked that guy.
But at least he didn't call you Irv.
No, he didn't. I told that story again the other day.
But you didn't finish the story where allegedly, I wasn't there, but Isbitz was there, that Artie Blank said to you, you look like an Irv.
Oh, yeah, I missed that part. I didn't want to add
that. Was the punchline.
Yeah, it is a punchline.
That was the whole story. He looks at you, he looks at me, and he says, you look like
you
an Irv.
You look like an Irv. May we go on, Stevie?
Absolutely, Ira. But, you know, these championship games, the fans want your picks. But I want to ask you about Derrick Henry, right? You know how this league goes. Henry's a monster. Is his performance in these playoffs, and he might have two more games, Is it going to change the approach of the whole league?
Well, first of all, he did it right in front of me Saturday night, and I had a front row seat for it in M&T Bank Stadium.
How quiet was that stadium?
I'll tell you what. And when I got out of there, along with 70,000 people, about three quarters of them were drunk, and the other quarter of them were all pissed off.
Fighting.
And I'm trying to get a cab back to my hotel at the airport.
Cab? You never heard of Uber?
Took me 45 minutes. The traffic was so bad, the Uber wasn't going to be able to get there. I flagged down three cabs with the light on, and the guy goes, I got people in the back seat. I go, shut your light off, you moron. What kind of town is this? Then I finally got a guy. He didn't want to take me. I go, I'm giving you $50. Where are you going to make that? He goes, too much traffic, man. It's the first time I ever turned a cab driver turning it down for traffic.
What would happen in Brooklyn if the guy had people in the back with the light on?
I finally talked him into it. This is like an hour after the game. I go, the game's been over an hour. Too much traffic on 295. I don't want to get involved. Finally, he did it, and I guess he decided to catch 295 3 miles down away from the traffic. He took me through the mean streets of Baltimore. I thought I was walking in on a drug deal.
You mean like wired?
I mean, Baltimore's got a bad reputation. I mean, I saw that show, The Wire.
The Wire.
It's all about Baltimore. I thought I saw three characters from the TV movie on the street over there. Hey, Mookie, how you doing? Boy, this cab driver, and I tried to stiff him. You know, I didn't give him a tiff. And he goes, hey, you said $50. I said, yeah, here's 51. I got the hell out of the cab and ran into the...
You stiffed the cabbie.
Stiff a cab. He made $50. What do you want from me?
Well, it sounds like you worked out a flat rate in advance.
Yeah, we did. Now, all this started with Derrick Henry. As a Chiefs fan for 55 years, I can look you two in the eye and right now say, I'm worried about Derrick Henry. I'm worried about the Chiefs with Derrick Henry. He ripped them during the regular season, about $170. Couldn't stop them. You saw what he did against the Belichick defense, and what's the thing we always say? He takes away what you do best. Well, there's no mystery about Tennessee's offense, and he couldn't stop him. Mm. And Baltimore, who Brooks said last week, well, they got a much more rugged physical defense than New England, so they'll contain him. He'll get his yards, but they'll contain him. They didn't. So here come the Chiefs, whose defense is okay, not great. And
better.
I'm worried about him. I mean, you fall behind to Tennessee – it's not like falling behind the Houston. Houston don't have that kind of running back that'll keep the clock running. You can't arm tackle this guy.
I got to ask you about Henry and the Chiefs.
But ultimately, I think the Chiefs are going to win because my man Mahomes is too tough.
Didn't the Chiefs get run over by Henry earlier this year?
Yes.
Didn't the Chiefs also have a lot of critical penalties that killed them offensively?
Yes.
Michael Lombardi on his podcast, GM Shuffle, said the same referee that worked that game's working this game.
Thanks, Lee. You just made my day over here going into this Sunday game.
Meanwhile, what's he playing around this phone for?
I don't know what Isbitz is doing. He's got some disturbing images on that phone. I am picking the Chiefs.
I Googled something and the lady started talking. That's
And because I picked the Chiefs, I know in advance that Isbitz is going to take Tennessee. I mean, it's just a given that he's not going to agree with me on anything. Steve, what do you think?
I'm riding the Ryan Tannehill train all the way to the
Super
Bowl.
There we go. Now, you're the tiebreaker here, Lee. You're the tiebreaker. Can the Titans do it on the road for a third straight week?
Yes.
I don't know what to think. I really don't know what to think. If I was betting, I'd take the Chiefs in the points. Who do I think's going to win? I'm going to say the curse of Arrowhead continues.
Ooh.
Whenever I hear people talk about a home field advantage, allegedly, you know, we got to get loud. Well, there's no louder stadium than Arrowhead, and that team is horrible at home in that stadium.
Now,
horrible.
Guys,
what, 2-9? They're 2-9 in their last
game? Yeah, they had a streak. And then
horrible.
I'll tell you what, somebody's legacy's on the line a little bit, and I don't mean Travis Kelce.
Reed.
I mean Andy Reid. I think he's got to win a Super Bowl to be a sure Hall of Famer. But he's already been in a Super Bowl, lost to New England, and it was a fairly close game. That was the game Terrell Owens played with a broken leg, had a hell of a game, and they lost. New England beat him.
Oh, that's
that game
right.
was
Ankle.
In Jacksonville.
Yeah, a great game.
Yeah. If Reed can come in there and win a Super Bowl.
Oh, he's in the Hall of Fame.
I think he's in the Hall of
Fame. By the way, I got to ask you, you know, every stadium, like, get loud. Whatever happened.
I don't hear that at Ray J.
Well, yeah, they do.
I hear at Ray J is two beers, please.
I wish I could buy those two beers. Whatever happened to that Noah Spence video? You've got contacts in
Noah Spence?
Yeah, the Noah Spence video used to have. You know, come on, go get loud. What happened to that video? I want that video.
I don't want
Noah Spence.
I don't want Spence's name mentioned on my podcast, The Kemper. Shame on you. We'll keep this on a high plane.
All right,
and I think the 49ers are going to win.
You think the 49ers
are going to win? That was Noah's, his greatest attribute with the Bucs was cutting the video where they put up on the scoreboard. Come on, get loud!
They got the best defense of the four teams. I think Green Bay has the second best defense of the four teams. The only reason Green Bay's got a shot is Rodgers. I mean, Rodgers is Rodgers. You never know what the guy can do, but I think he's going to be under siege, and I think the Niners' pressure is going to get to him.
I'm jaded, Ira. I'm rooting so hard for John Lynch to
thank you.
To get this done. I'd love to see him just for the fun of it.
Don't tell me you're going to go against me again.
Win the Super Bowl. No. I can't even think anything other than the Niners winning this game. I got to go with the 49ers. Just too excited for them to win.
And, you know, their offense isn't bad. Like, and the Niner offense is not bad.
I can predict what Chris Russo is going to say if Green Bay and Kansas City wins.
Let me hear it.
Oh, the TV radio is going to suck at this dude Midwest.
Yeah, that's what he's going to say.
And you should come back with him. Are you not going to watch it, Chris?
Good boy.
And the biggest thing I don't want is the Packers to win the Super Bowl and then play the Bucs next year in Tampa and have all the revitalized Green Bay, green cheesehead idiots fill in the stadium and make it another road game for the Bucs. So two motivations there.
They pretty much will anyway, won't they?
Well, it won't be as bad if they...
You know, Steve, it's going to be an interesting dynamic in Miami Beach. I believe the meeting. I believe the meeting is going to be at the Lowe's Hotel.
What's her name, Ira?
The day before. Never mind that. This is the
Super. That's next year
this
in Vegas.
This is the Hall of Fame meeting, and I think it's going to be an interesting dynamic in the room if John Lynch is preparing to be in the Super Bowl the next day, and here I am making a case for John Lynch in the Hall of Fame. It can't hurt the Kemper.
Oh no, visibility
can't hurt.
Visibility. I still say to people about. You know, I grew up near St. Louis. I not that I wanted to, but I saw all those awful Cardinals games. And Dierdorf was a good player, Dan Dierdorf. But I still think him being a broadcaster on Monday Night Football put him into Canton
because
of visibility.
To use an Ira Kaufman word, Ira, and I'll try to put your spin on it here. Lynch being in the Hall of Fame with you presenting him. Lynch being in the Super Bowl with you presenting him the day before. Unprecedented, Mr. Isbitz. Unprecedented.
Would it be? Because you, Sapp was there when you got him in.
Well, Sapp wasn't in the Super
Sapp
Bowl.
Sapp wasn't in the Super Bowl.
Oh, okay. But he was there.
Well, that's when Sapp solicited somebody during Super Bowl week.
That was it?
Yeah, it was a weekend.
That was the $600 threesome.
That was more than $600.
Why do you know the details of that?
Look it up. Google it.
That was much more than $600. That cost him like, what, $700,000 job?
By the way, I saw Derek Brooks this morning.
How could you bring up Derek Brooks when we talk about Sapp and solicitation?
May I finish? The Identity Tampa 2, which is a good program. I enjoy doing it with him. And he's going to be in Miami. Probably the day you leave, he'll come in. You'll leave midweek. He'll come in. And one of the reasons he's coming in is to hype the Super Bowl in Tampa the following year. He's part of the committee.
Nice.
And you cannot have a better representative. And while he's there, he's going to twist plenty of arms on John Lynch's behalf.
Should.
So that doesn't hurt either.
Dungy should be doing that. Rondé Barber should be doing that.
Rondé Barber's got his own thing to hype.
Yeah, but Rondé Barber has visibility being a broadcaster, so he'll get a lot of he could get on Radio Row for 2 days straight.
All right, Sage. Next podcast, you and Lee will have all kinds of things to talk about. I know we didn't get to Gruden and Marinelli.
We will.
Plenty of time there. They're not going anywhere. Although Marinelli's 70 now, he might not make it to the season.
May I leave with a message to my fellow Hall of Fame voters?
No, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why.
They actually listen?
All right, Ira. We are now at your favorite place here, Bill Curry Ford, as we've been telling everybody through the podcast. You show pictures of that brand new Escape you got here like they're your grandchild or something. You got to stop that, Ira.
I'm in my stomping grounds. Everybody knows me around here. I know the people. Sean Sullivan, the general manager, I'm not surprised, has surrounded himself with a stellar staff. And here we are, back in the showroom.
All right, so
where we belong.
And we're bringing in Sean Sullivan, general manager, not to talk about cars. He'll talk to you all day about cars. But Sean, welcome back to the podcast. People love listening to you. And with the East-West Shrine Game coming up, or Shrine Bowl, whatever they call it now, on Saturday, you know, I know you've been studying all these guys. You got to at least tell us about a couple of these guys we need to be looking at in the game. But first, how the hell are you?
I'm doing great, Steve. Thanks. We just finished the December push, so we just did the end of the year stuff. It's exhausting. I'm just now recovering. Very excited for 2020. Super excited for everything to come. We got a lot of new models coming out this year. But listen, I can talk cars. Like you said, I'm here to talk football. I'm not going to bore the fans.
Do you break down my stuff? Do you break down the draft and these prospects just the way you break down vehicles, Sean?
I do. It's a hobby of mine. I do the scouting. I put the time in. The Senior Bowl is my favorite bowl. East and West Shrine Game is fine. Remember, I'm the Bill Parcells guy, but as far as quarterbacks, as far as I like 3 and 4 year starters in college. I like team captains. I guess I'm more Rich McKay, right? If I had to say, I'm a Rich McKay fan.
Do you lean towards Florida schools necessarily? Well, as far as the Bucks are concerned.
Well, I got accused of that. I wrote an article that you guys published about Brian Burns, and I got accused of being a Florida State homer. But the thing that I try to focus on is I take the personal element out and see if these are great football players. I want to draft them. I want to play. And what I have a problem with is when we have people in our backyard at USF, we had Marlon Mack at USF. We had a chance to draft. We traded up, and everybody in the room thought we were trading up for Marlon Mack. And then you had an inside source that said that we really liked Marlon Mack, and then we didn't draft Marlon Mack.
And
then,
of course, he's a heck of a player.
He's a heck of a player. We all knew he was a heck of a player. Then we have a kicker. We need a kicker. And then there's a Pro Bowl kicker right here in our backyard.
FIU,
right.
And then we had the Dalvin Cook thing.
And we had I don't want to get started on the Dalvin Cook
thing. And we had inside information that they were looking at O.J. Howard.
Correct. There's not enough time to talk about the Dalvin Cook thing.
My neighbor grew up a Gators fan, still a hardcore Gators fan. Wears Gators gear all over the place. Went to school at Ohio State. Went to Florida a couple years ago when Florida State and Michigan played in the Orange Bowl. He went to throw a brick through his TV.
As about a good Buck fan and supportive of a Buck fan, as I know, have you made an adjustment in your analysis of prospects now that a different coaching staff has been in place for a year or two with a different scheme? And you know what Arians likes as opposed to Cutter and Bowles, what he likes as opposed to Mike Smith. I'm sorry to mention that name. Have you adjusted that in terms of does the guy fit what the Bucks want to do?
No.
Or is it like a
quick answer?
A good football player is a good
player is a good football player. No. Right? So if I'm looking at players to see if they're the best, right? So I want to say it was Parcells. It could be Walsh that talked about the fact that you can't let a good player make you pass up on a great player. It's kind of the conversation you had when we had Cadillac Williams and we had the opportunity to draft Adrian Peterson. And we said, well, no, we just spent a draft pick on Cadillac. We can't draft Adrian Peterson,
yes,
even though we thought he was a better player.
Yes.
I would never do that. I'm drafting the great player. I'm looking for great players.
Yes.
And you know what? If they turn out to be good players, the team still benefits.
But if they're great, you trade Cadillac.
You trade Cadillac.
You trade Cadillac.
Cadillac had a knee injury at the time. We didn't even know if he was coming back. We didn't know what he was going to be when he came back. And they're like, we don't need to draft Adrian Peterson because that's too much draft capital in running backs. And fast forward, and we just draft every defensive back in the draft, hoping that one of them is good.
Yeah.
But I will tell you that this I'm more proud of this coaching staff than I am of any coaching staff that's been assembled since Gruden. And I wasn't a huge fan of Gruden's. I mean, obviously, I'm a Dungy guy. Dungy had, at one time, I believe, 4 head coaches on his staff that became head coaches. Dungy was a true teacher, and he was a true developer of talent. And we have that again. And I trust Bruce Arians at this point. He's showing me.
All right, Steve's asking you about the Shrine Game, Sean.
Well, first, Ira, you know, I am, and I want to hear what Sean is looking at in the game. So I know what to look at in the game because I know he's paying more attention than I've been. But you mentioned your favorite bowl, Ira. Sean's is a Senior Bowl. I'm assuming yours is linguine with a little sausage.
Well, if there was a beet salad bowl, I'd be all over it. But the Senior Bowl's tough to beat, Sean, because
it is.
Guys that may not be on the radar, if they have a good week in Mobile, they can really zoom up. And it's happened here in Tampa.
How about Jimmy Garoppolo? Yeah. Here's a guy that started at the East-West Shrine Game, played so well, they promoted him to the Senior Bowl, and then he went to the Senior Bowl and got on the Patriots' radar.
Exactly.
So I'm thinking to myself, I love the fact that you can take players from the East-West Shrine Game and promote them to the Senior Bowl for that week. I love it when they add players at the last minute. They're rewarding players. I was just saying, but look at the success that Dungy's tree had.
Sure.
I mean, that's very much pretty
successful. And sure, no surprise they're all on the defensive side.
They're all on the defense. Right. You wouldn't expect an offensive coach to come out. I mean, for goodness sakes, we had Mike Shula was our offensive coordinator. Les Steckel.
And he was Arian's roommate, so he probably saw him in his undershirt, Ira, like you always talk
about.
And
neither one of them was in their basement in the offseason. with Lovie.
There you go.
All right, Sean. Awesome. Offensive side of the ball. Who are you looking at in the Shrine game? Who should we be paying attention to?
Okay, so this is a great thing, Steven. I'm going to tell you what I'm so excited about. I look at the running backs. I'm always looking at running backs. I'm a Bucks fan. So so my favorite thing about this is I look at the top five passing teams in the NFL. They're not in the playoffs. The top five running teams, all in the playoffs.
In terms of yardage. Yardage.
Yardage, yeah, correct. Yardage. So someone's going to have to explain to me why the running game has lost.
It's been devalued a little bit.
How? The top five rushing teams in the NFL are in the playoffs.
The stat geeks will tell you it's pass to set up the run, which is a Bill Walsh team. You pass to set up the run, and that's why you see these running teams. Sort of like Arians tried to do, but he didn't have the horses. He'd have that big halftime lead, then you hand the ball to Peyton Barber up the middle.
I'll switch with the Tennessee Titans right now with their quarterback throwing 8 to 10 yard passes a game.
With a monster at running
back. I believe, did he throw 9 passes in the game?
I think it might have been 15, but it's a very simple
formula. I'm sorry, he completed 9 of 15 passes.
Yeah, you're barking up his alley.
They're using
alley.
A very simple formula, Sean.
Yeah, yeah, hike the ball to a running back and let him kill the clock.
And control the tempo.
And control the tempo.
You know, I looked the other day. Tannehill, I believe, averaged 23 passes attempts in the regular season, which is extraordinarily low number in the NFL.
So, and he's 9-3 since taking.
Yeah, I'll strong running game, strong defense, pass rushers. I love everything about it.
49ers. 49ers. Describing the 49ers.
I think I've said in the podcast many times. John Lynch is my favorite. Right, so he builds a team after my own heart. Like if. I would want to work for John Lynch if I was in the NFL.
Can I bring you into the room to do that speech for me?
I'd love it. Solid. No one deserves it more than John Lynch.
Are we talking about second and third round running backs that you're about to talk about?
I'm talking fourth. Well, East Rush Shrine game should be second to third day draft picks. So you're looking at third to fourth rounds.
Okay.
There's nobody at the East Rush Shrine game that should be a first or second rounder. This is
Garoppolo, but that's a rarity.
Very well. He also went to Shrine and was, I believe,
he was invited to the Senior
that he
Bowl.
Was the MVP of the Senior Bowl, yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Someone got hurt. And he did really well at the Shrine game.
He
and
did.
As a result, he got invited to the Senior Bowl.
So these are day two, day three picks. Okay.
These are the picks that actually make your team. They just don't make the headlines. Okay. These are the guys that do the meat and potato work. Right? So you know how I feel about the draft. I would draft all defensive linemen, offensive linemen. And then in the lower draft picks, I would try to find myself some skilled wide receivers and running backs because that's the depth right now. Well, right now, Reggie Corbin is this Illinois kid. And I say kid because I'm older now, so he is a kid.
Tutored by Lovie Smith.
Yes.
Tutored.
That's
yes.
not what you put on your resume.
Did you say neutered or
I
tutored?
Said tutored.
Yeah, neutered, yes.
Lovie's still trying. He probably wanted to play both ways, right, so he could try to get turnovers.
One of them as a safety.
Yeah. Just let him catch the ball until one of them drops it or he intercepts it. That's a great defensive plan, Lovie.
What about this kid?
Okay, so I, in a running back, obviously there's better guys than me to break down vision and balance. I look for yards after contact, which is why – it's a big deal, but sometimes some guys just pass the eye test, Ira. And I'm telling you, when I was a little boy, I got an airplane. I was sitting next to Tony Dorsett. It was one of the greatest times of my life. Should have been a Buck, by the way.
Could have been right? a Buck. Could have been a
highest rating running back on the board, and we don't draft him. Yeah. We drafted Ricky Bell.
That's
okay?
Right. That's right.
So for those of you guys who followed the Bucks as long as I have.
And that's because McKay knew him. And,
that's great. He recruited him. He recruited him
from his
parents.
The day of that draft, that was Ira's 50th birthday party.
That's amazing.
Now,
Ira had just retired from the newspaper, right, when that happened?
Sean's about to tell us how Dorsett pushed his chair back into Sean's tray, and Sean got up and said, "What the hell you think you're doing over there?"
In one of those moments where you're next to greatness and you can't talk. You know, like a lot of guys, oh, he's just an athlete or whatever. Everybody says that till you get in front of him, right? I was sitting next to Tony Dorsett, knew who he was, and then I was looking at his build. Because, you know, football players typically big, like Donovan Smith, when you meet him, he's a very imposing human being. He put when I shook his hand engulfed my arm. You know, he's just a very big man. He's intimidating. Even though he smiles, he's like a gentle giant. He's just an intimidating guy.
Did he hold you while he was next to you? Did he grab your shirt?
No, so right. I looked at him, and I was like, the legs on Tony Dorsett weren't proportionate to the rest of his body. His legs were thick, like Earl Campbell's.
Oh.
It didn't look. It looked like somebody put a different top of a body on a bottom of a body. It looked like all he did was leg presses all of his life. So then, when you watch Tony Dorsett run, he's the lowest guy wins, right? And then when they try to arm tackle him, he breaks all the arm tackles. So that's fascinating to me. So ever
and
since
breaking speed,
and right. Speed. So then, when you look at this this gentleman out of Illinois, look at his legs. They don't look like they belong on his body.
Mm.
He's Maurice Jones-Drew kind of feel. Okay. You know, so Maurice Jones-Drew, another guy that got real low.
Yards after contact.
Yards after contact because he can break the arm tackles. When you watch the Bucs run block, they open holes, and they're open for a very short amount of time.
That's true.
I believe that having a back, you know, that can break tackles, yards after catch, they can get to the next level. And then this gentleman has the speed, and I think you're going to see that in the East-West Shrine game. I think he's going to be a star in this game.
Reggie Corbin.
You just have to look at his body type. It's like when I was – you know, watch that sports science show on television? You ever watch that?
Once in a while.
So they have some interesting stuff about athletes, and they did swimmers. And what's the famous swimmer's name that won all the gold medals?
Brooke Bennett.
No, not Brooke Bennett. The guy
that Michael
Phelps.
Michael Phelps. He won all these gold medals, and they did the sports science thing on him. And they showed that the way his torso, the length of his torso, the lengths of his arms, the way the shortness of his legs actually made him glide through the water faster and easier than a regular human being.
And gave him an advantage.
And it gave him an advantage. His physical attributes gave him a major advantage in swimming. I think it has to be the same in football. I think that there are certain attributes I would look for in a player and
more
go,
so than
there he is. There's my running back right there.
So what happened to Aurelius Ben? That guy was built for
me. He wasn't a football player.
So leading up to the draft, Aurelius Ben had a lot of hype going on because he was super dominant at Illinois.
Also from Illinois.
Physical freak, yeah.
He was a physical freak, but what did he lack in college? Reps. And then when he actually got when he was actually in the game, they realized, hey, this guy's a very raw route runner. We can coach him up. Well, he never learned how to run routes. And then on top of that, he lost his confidence. And then what happens when a receiver loses confidence, they usually get injured, right? They do something, they get injured, and then they're tentative. They're not running full force, you know, and they get injured. I mean, it just happens. I still don't think that was a bad pick. Based on the knowledge that you had when you drafted him.
He was just starting to come around when he got hurt.
But was it Aurelius? Was it our coaching staff that didn't coach him up properly? If we draft somebody like Jefferson at LSU, you know, who's fantastic, or you draft Chase at LSU, these are not going to be – well, Jefferson might be slipping to the first round. But
Chase is the monster I'm thinking of. He's a huge.
Yeah, he's T. Higgins size, but Chase is the smaller of the guys. Okay. He's probably going to drop in the draft, even though he's got very dependable hands. Sometimes you get these guys and you can develop them into amazing players. And I'm telling you, this coaching staff, I have more confidence in that we can draft players and develop them than ever before.
They developed players last year, Sean.
They did. I was so impressed. And Lee and I just had this conversation the other day where he's like, we led the league in penalties. Well, I thought it was interesting that we draft a lot of players that led their team in penalties.
In college.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't know what you expect to do. And I think this coaching staff says, we're just going to coach it out of them. And then you saw them get better.
Are you as high on Jamel Dean as I am? I think he's going to be very good.
I think he's a serviceable corner. I don't see what you see.
You like somebody else better?
I agree, Ira. I don't see it either.
I don't see what you see in him.
You like Bunting better?
No. I think what you see is...
I see him around the ball. That's what I see.
I think you're comparing him to Smith.
Ryan Smith or Hargraves.
And I think that compared to those guys, but then if you look at San Francisco's corners right now, or if you look at, well, say in our same division, look at what New Orleans did at defensive back. It's not a comparison. Now, do I think that he made super strides? Oh, unbelievable strides. I hope that he didn't plateau. I hope this is not as good as he ever gets. Okay. But 10 passes defensed. In the second half of the season, he was one of the top-rated corners in the NFL for pass defensed, which means people are still throwing at him.
You think Davis will be the better player, Carlton Davis?
Not a fan of Carlton Davis, Okay. Only because he's grabby, handsy, right? We talked about handsy. I like Carlton Davis as a player.
It's like Ira with Bette Midler.
Right.
He can't control himself.
So far, you just ripped three Buck cornerbacks over there, Sullivan.
You don't understand. I'm not ripping them. I'm not saying that they're Pro Bowl defensive backs, and I'm not saying we don't need to add a Chris Harris Jr. in the offseason. What I'm saying is they need veteran leadership. All I'm saying, we drafted very raw guys that led their teams in penalties in college that were coming off of injuries. That Jamel Dean, the fact that he didn't get hurt shows that he can be durable in the NFL. That's a positive.
He did get hurt.
He didn't have a major knee injury.
Gotcha.
So he hurt his knee as a sophomore and as a junior, and lost the whole season.
I gotcha.
What I meant. I mean, the nicks and little things I was talking about a major injury because that's why he fell in the draft.
Don't nitpick over there.
Well, he missed five games or so. I can't let Sean.
But Ira, my biggest admiration, that's the right word, is we drafted guys that I thought were very raw. I thought there were better players on the board that we could have drafted. They took very raw players, and they worked with them, and they coached them up, and they got better.
And they stuck with them.
And they got better. When have you ever seen a defensive back have a turnaround like Jamal Dean? What, Bunting,
on this franchise.
Bunting didn't look like he belonged on the field at the beginning of the season.
Correct.
He looked like he was so raw. You got to put him down. You got to go sit him on the bench.
Even Arian said, "Where were you?"
Right. And then he had three interceptions. Yeah. And then he played zone for one play. That was a great defensive call by Bowles. So, yeah, I think Bunting gets the credit for that. Todd Bowles.
I haven't given up on Edwards.
That was all Todd Bowles.
I'm not sure Edwards isn't going to be decent. We'll see. We'll see.
All right, Sean.
I'm not even going to start.
You're biting your tongue, aren't you?
We should have a video of Sullivan's face when I said that.
Sean, give us another name, Shrine Game.
They moved Edwards to three different positions. He's going like to be our kicker next year.
Sour apple.
Can you find a spot for him at Bill Curry Ford?
If he was playing so well, do you think they keep moving positions?
All right, he wants a defensive player. What do you got? What do you got?
So Carter out of Alabama, right? So, you know, I like big school guys. Right, so we talk about this, especially for depth. Like, you know, one of my things is, you know, I don't want to look at East Valley State University. So Carter plays like that. He played that hybrid linebacker safety role for Alabama, which is, you know, that's a Nick Saban thing where he takes a great athlete, kind of like the money backer that Bruce Arians had, where you have this safety linebacker hybrid who, and he also can play corner. He's faster than Mark Barron. My only thought is, I don't know where you put him. I really don't. So, you know, in this particular case, I'm just recognizing a guy that can play football.
You just mentioned Mark Barron while sizing up a prospect. Do you know what kind of reaction you're going to get from Buck Nation when you mention Mark Barron?
Mark Barron was the opposite of Derek Brooks, right? So Derek Brooks was a linebacker that everybody wanted to play safety when he was drafted. That's how we got him in the second round. He didn't want to play safety. He wanted to play linebacker. He's in the Hall of Fame, right? Mark Barron's another guy that should have been moved to linebacker from the start. He should have never played safety. He wasn't fast enough with reaction time. He can't flip his hips. He couldn't turn and look behind him. So if the receiver got by him, the game's over.
But he had some value as a linebacker.
Unbelievable. I thought he had terrific speed as a linebacker, great instincts. Absolutely played the box, played the run tough. I mean, that I wish we had had him.
So
I wish we had kept
him.
Well, they did have him. Didn't recognize him.
I mean, we traded him for a fourth-round draft pick from what I remember.
Yeah,
is that correct?
Didn't recognize it, so he trades him, yeah.
One of the great ironies of that is Barron arrives with Schiano. Schiano was a linebacker himself in college, started as a linebacker's coach,
yes.
And didn't understand that Barron was a linebacker.
But he did play him against the run a lot, though, didn't he?
He did.
In the box, yeah. Or, where you know, Mr. Airhead in Illinois now couldn't figure that out.
Well, Steve, do you think that sometimes Schiano was, as a head coach, that you miss things that you would typically see if, say, Schiano was a linebacker's coach?
See, now I think that's a good point.
So
he's doing so much as a head coach.
I think that the reason why he missed Barron was because his linebacker coach missed Barron. And I think that Schiano would have recognized this guy should be playing safety. I really, and I'm not a Schiano fan.
Sure.
But he's not stupid.
He's running around from unit to unit, Schiano.
Levante right. David, yeah. As much as I love him, he played his best with Schiano.
We say he played his best with Schiano because of sack numbers, okay? So my thinking is, I think that he's always played great. And I think it's time we stop measuring somebody like Devontae David who on sacks. Everybody says, oh, he had, what, 6-7 sacks, and he's going to be this guy. Enough with that. That's not the position that he plays, and I think he plays at such a high level, we only recognize him when he sacks the quarterback. How terrible are we as fans
Brooks didn't
that
rush
we only
the
recognize the guy? Brooks, did, right.
Brooks didn't rush. You know, never.
But you're right. Schiano had him blitzing quite a bit, and he's a great blitzer. There is no question that you're right, Lee. I'm just saying I don't like players to get lost because they're not measured correctly.
Okay.
Can we have Mr. Sullivan straighten out Mr. DeKemper on this award-winning podcast in terms of Devin White's going to be a very good football player? And you
never said he was.
And you cannot call that a bad first-round draft.
I never said that was bad.
It's too
Sullivan, Mr. Sullivan, will you join me? Will you join me in that regard?
See, Ira doesn't value pass rushers like I do.
Okay, so we just talked about the 49ers, and you were all talking about how great the 49ers were, and all he does is draft first-round pass rushers. Okay, so I'm not going to apologize for wanting a pass rusher.
But he also signs Quan Alexander, who turned out to be a pretty good player in San
Francisco. You mean Shaq?
No, he signed.
Okay. Yeah. Again, Kwon Alexander, who led the NFL in missed tackles. Yeah, awesome.
And he missed most of the year.
And meanwhile, as soon as he got healthy, they put him back in the lineup last week.
Did you not feel like we had a better run defense without Gerald McCoy and Kwon Alexander? It's amazing how our run defense was number one. I think we made the right move letting him walk and letting Gerald McCoy walk.
But I want you to talk more about Devin White.
Devin White is a great player for a rookie. So I'm not ready to say he's Lawrence Taylor or Luke Kuechly. But the fact that Luke Kuechly just retired, you know, Devin White might be the best middle linebacker in the South.
And there's some good ones.
Well, you got some great. Atlanta has one of the top ones.
And DeMario Davis is good.
But you know what? He does not cover well. And I remember this conversation. You told me that you wanted to draft a guy to cover tight ends in the NFC South.
And Kamara coming out of the back.
That's what you said. I have no problem with them drafting a linebacker with speed so we can finally cover tight ends and we can finally cover running backs. And Devin White has not succeeded at either one of those things.
He's a rookie. He's a rookie.
You're absolutely right. He was, according to PFF, which I know you guys are not a fan of PFF.
I don't like their grades.
But
I don't like anything about them. It's all phony.
But they do have 40 times, right? So during the NFL playing time, right? So Devin White was the fastest linebacker in the NFL in 2019.
And he's proved that.
From sideline to sideline.
How did they show that? I mean,
On field speed.
Not. I'm not talking about the combine. I'm talking about on the field.
But he's got a ways to go in coverage. There's no question.
But he's the fastest linebacker on the NFL football field in 2019.
Isn't he clocking like 22 miles an hour returning a scoop and score?
That's correct. Yeah, he was by far the fastest.
Now, your guys had a good year. Josh Allen had a good year. Brian Burns had a good year.
Brian Burns got hurt, or he would have been over double-digit sacks. Instead of Devin White, my thinking was Brian Burns and Cody Ford. I was thinking two players for one player. That's what I was thinking. This year, I'm super excited. If we stay at 14, one of my favorite pass rushers in this draft just got in trouble for hazing.
Penn State, Matos.
Yes, this guy's awesome. Okay.
You love that guy.
I do. I love him because he plays the game the way it's supposed to be played. He punches you in the mouth. It's physical.
He's an end, right?
He's a rushing end. He's a Pierre-Paul clone.
Absolute clone.
I love him.
Can he fall to 14? Or do they got to move up?
No, he's definitely falling to 14 now because he's in a hazing scandal, and I don't think it's a legal issue. I think that it's more just a disciplinary issue.
A goofball issue in college.
So, Sean, Trimble, you got anybody else, or you're just going to be scouting it out?
I'm not a fan of any of the quarterbacks at the Shrine Bowl. I have a personal friend playing in the Shrine Bowl. Yes, Jake from Oregon. He was a five-star.
Not from State Farm.
No.
Not Jake from State Farm.
No, his dad, I call him Fru, because Fru Morgan, obviously, is a very close friend of mine, and his son was a five-star recruit to Florida, Ivy. I can't remember the Ivy's first name at the moment, but he was a five-star recruit as well, where Florida got all these five-star recruit offensive linemen. He went to Florida. He didn't like the practicing schedule at Florida. He transferred to Clemson, actually played at Clemson, transferred from Clemson to Baylor, and found his place at Baylor. So he graduated from Baylor. He was their starting center at 6'6". So he plays left tackle, right tackle, guard, and center. So he plays all – I mean, when have you ever heard of a player that can play all the positions? And when have you ever heard of a 6'6 center?
That's unusual.
Right. So he's playing. I'm excited to see what he's going to do. I mean, Baylor had a terrific season. He started all the games for Baylor this year. I'm hoping that he does well. He's projected, I believe, as a fifth-round draft pick.
6'6 center. That tells me he can get leverage.
He's low. He gets low. And he's just a big human being.
Hey, I'm surprised Kappa can play guard at his size.
Just so you know, John, his dad, played at Alabama, and he played in the NFL, John from Morgan. So it's kind of nice. He's got a pedigree. Nice.
All right, so we will be watching the safety, Carter, out of Alabama, Reggie Corbin, the running back from Illinois, who might be a third, fourth-round pick. We'll see how he performs. It's just through the process. And if they suck on Saturday, Sean, we'll scream at you.
Yeah, send me emails. Tell me they suck.
Make fun of you. Now, before you get out of here, tell us what we need to know about Bill Curry Ford in a couple of minutes. The folks out there who drive by here on Dale Mabry, you know, they just see the sign. What do they need to feel and understand about what you have going on?
And what new stuff do you have coming up?
I have thought about this quite a bit since our last time that we talked. And I have a new philosophy now for selling on Joe Bucks Fan. So this is brand new, breaking news. so I have figured out that selling is all about relationships, and you guys and I know that. And I've sold Lee a car, and I've sold Ira a car, and lots of people that I know.
And who bought one first from you, Sean?
Steve.
Yes,
Steve
thank
bought
you.
One for me. So, you know,
although I have to admit it was a beautiful pre-owned vehicle, not a Ford, but tremendous selection here at Bill Curry Ford. You got to take what you like.
So, as far as talking about commercials and lifetime nationwide warranty, which, by the way, I just paid a claim on, so the customer was very excited. Because it works. So
It's legit.
So they blew their engine and celebrated.
It's gold certified because I just paid the bill and the customer could not have been happier. Thought they were going to hug me. So it's about relationships, right? So the relationships I have with you guys and the relationships I have when your customer comes in, if you build that rapport and that relationship, they buy a car from you. Everything else is irrelevant.
And then they tell their friend to buy a car.
Right. So this is my new philosophy, Steve. Just have them come and see me. Any Bucks fan that's out there, any follower of Joe Bucks fan, anything that's with Big Storm Brewery, anybody's having a beer right now that wants to come and see me, just come in and say, I'm here to see Sean. He told me to come and see him on Joe Bucks fan. I will personally help you with your car deal. I will build a relationship with you. We'll talk Bucks. You drive out of here in a new or pre-owned car with a lifetime warranty, and then I'm not going to bore you with a bunch of ads and a bunch of stuff that we have coming out. We're just going to build personal relationship. That's what we're going to do.
Brand new for 2020.
Sean, what if somebody's worried about they're not in great financial shape? Should they come in anyway?
Absolutely. The financial shape thing is easy for me. The easiest part of my conversation is helping people through credit issues. So done this for my whole life. I've helped people refinance their cars. If I can't actually get them an approval, I can approve them myself and spend our own money to put them in a car. But then I can also tell them exactly how to help themselves with their credit. I've walked people through all of this many, many times. I think it's a trust issue, right? Because people don't trust car dealerships.
Totally. Totally a trust issue.
But somehow you trust realtors, right? Who make way more money than we do on a house sale than a car sale. So somehow I'm going to figure out that one time. I'm going to figure that out.
You guys get a bad rap.
We do. On the rap of worst people, it is senators,
journalists,
lawyers, and car salesmen.
And there you go.
So you know, the bottom three. There's your bottom three. If you Google it right now, those are the most hated people in the country. And you know what? Just like in any profession, there's bad people and there's good people.
You know who's tied for sixth?
There's bad people in journalism, I'll tell you what, right now. There's a couple of guys I really don't like.
Why are you looking at me when you said that?
Not you, Ira. I'm just saying.
I was going to say journalists are there, and tied for sixth are former Buccaneers general managers, or current ones as well. So they're right there, too.
I don't understand the hatred for Richard McKay. I just don't get it. There's a lot of people that just don't like him, and I never understood it. The guy drafted well. He ran a good team, and he's done a terrific job in Atlanta.
And he invites Ira over to the house all the time.
And the Bucs sustained their success under him. And that's
sustained
not easy to do.
Success.
Sustained.
Right.
Sustained.
We do the opposite now. We just do these 14-year stretches without playoffs.
Papa to 9-7.
It's just opposite. We just do the opposite.
Yeah,
we're in Tampa.
Opposite.
We'll make the playoffs and go, we'll just do another 14 years of not making it.
All right, Sean. Well, for all the folks, and we're going to say goodbye and thank you so much for joining us. A lot of fun. You know, I know we're always welcome here because we really love being here from the bottom of our hearts. But for all the people who can't get in here and have a personal relationship with you, BillCurryFord.com is very easy to use. I know you have the responsive agents there if somebody has a quick question. And your email's right on the website. If somebody shoots you an email and has some questions, I know you will help them in the same way they would if they walked through the door.
By the way, this guy Maurice, he's the best.
Yes. Don't tell him that, Ira. I already have enough time.
I told him I'd try to get a little more money in his paycheck or something, Sean.
Yeah.
But
no, he's a professional.
I don't know how you found that guy, but he's fantastic. He is fantastic.
It's surprisingly, over the years, I've hired these people from different professions and then teach them the car drum.
So developed them.
In our business, there's only one way. You have to develop. You have to coach and you have to teach.
All right, Sean, get out of here. And Ira, you know what? When we kick you out the door, you'll be greeting people right here. Sean knows how good you'll be.
You know, Larry David once said, if anybody watches Curb Your Enthusiasm, he said one time he had a little skit where he was trying to sell cars. He said, I could be a great car salesman. I think the same thing, Sullivan. I'm a people person. I'll give him a beet salad, a little slap on the back, talk a little Bucks, and I think I can put him in some of your vehicles.
It's the same process.
There you go.
All right. Thanks a lot, Sean.
Thanks, guys.
Ira, they're going to get an Odell Beckham warrant out for you slapping people. All right, Ira, a lot of fun to digest there from Sean. And always great to be here at Bill Curry Ford. We want to thank Big Storm Brewery, Big Storm Brewing Company, the tap rooms where the food is great, go to bigstormbrewery.com. You'll find the Storm Tracker. Check it out at joebucksfan.com. Just look for Big Storm in the store. And, of course, we love Pin Chasers as well. One of these days, Ira, we're going to get you bowling so you can make fun of those lefties that you can't stand.
And the ones that started right over the gutter, and it curves right in. Man. They
have like a Steve Carlton slider.
They're all 5'4" and lefty. Oh, all, yeah. all of them.
They have some of those lefties at Pin Chasers, but great food, daily specials every day. And they're all at the website, pinchasers.net. Now, Ira, you have a message that you want to leave your good people with, you said.
I do. Fellow voters, if you are listening, along with Javier from Panama and my good friends in Thailand and
Port Richey Lou,
New Zealand and Port Richey Lou.
That reminds me.
But these go to my other 47 voters that are going to be around that table in Miami Beach. Guys, think of it this way. If we all get together and we get John Lynch a gold jacket and he's smiling ear to ear, and 3 months from now, you need John Lynch for a quote, or you need John Lynch's insight on an NFL issue, and you identify yourself. Yes, I was one of the people that was in that room, and the assumption would be, well, this guy voted for me. You might get a call back from John Lynch. Just think about it, people.
Shameful, Ira. Shameful. Now, Lee's got something.
I just want to, it's kind of a thank you for all your listeners, Ira. First, they got to put up with me, so I want to thank them for putting up with me. I always joke that I'm the second most hated man in Tampa Bay because of what I write.
And he said, who's number one?
Yeah, that's a Jason Light. But right now, I think it's Jameis, and I'm number two. And
you're a close number two.
No, I'm number two. I'm confident. People hate me. But anyway, a couple weeks ago, you know this, I was walking out of Publix, and you had called me while I was in Publix. And I know when you call me, it's important. I was at the cash register at the time. I'm like, give me a minute.
Surprised you didn't walk out without paying the Kemper.
I can't live like that. So anyway, it might have been 30, might have been 30 seconds, 45 seconds after you called. I'm walking out of Publix, and I called you. And I guess we were talking for maybe a minute. And some guy comes from up to me, you know, somebody, hey, are you Lee? You know, the first thing on my mouth was,
uh-oh, this could be a henchman or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Would I owe you money or something? My usual response is, it depends.
It depends.
Yeah, it depends. Are you Lee?
It depends who's asking.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you know, I said I'm the second most hated man. I'm expecting to get punched or you know, having a rod stuck in my face or something. And he goes, hey, no, I'm Dan. I'm Dan McGraw. How you doing? I'm like, what? And he's a reader. He twitters this once in a while. Dan can't stand Jameis. Oh, he hates Jameis. But anyway, he comes up to me. You know, I didn't recognize him from his picture on Twitter. He comes up and he's like, man, I love your guys' podcast. I listen to you all the time because he heard my voice talking to Ira. And immediately I said, say hi to Ira. And I shoved my phone in his face and he started talking to Ira. But I just want to let people know that, you know, I appreciate all of our listeners, especially the people that can't stand me, because that means you suffer through and you listen to me and put up with my takes. But no, if not for our listeners, who knows what the hell Joe Bucks fan would be without readers and listeners of all walks of life. Walking out of public, so they'll come up to you and thank you.
That's the best advertisement for this website I've ever heard. Get out of here.